going absolutely great for you, beloved? I mean, can you feel the wind of the Spirit behind your back? Can you sense His power on your life? That is great. That is awesome. I am thrilled for you. But be careful. Be very, very careful that all of a sudden you don't forget where the wind of the Spirit is coming from, where the power is coming from. Because if you forget, then you're in danger. We'll talk about it today. David has brought down Goliath. This young man, this ruddy youth, has stood before this giant on the battlefield. He has run to the front line. He has pulled out a stone. He has put it in a sling. He has slung that thing around his head and let it go. It hits the giant, Goliath, the Philistine, straight in the forehead. And the giant falls flat on his face. He's come over. He's taken out the giant's sword. And he's cut off his head. And he just picks up that head in great triumph. I mean, what a moment. What a victory. And you know, you can just feel the wind of the Spirit of God behind you. You can feel His power. You know that He is God. It's an awesome, awesome moment. It's a moment that you don't want to lose, because you want to remember that it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit. The God that delivered David from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, has just delivered him and the armies of the living God from this Philistine and from the whole army. Victory is his, but he needs to remember where the victory came from. So I want you to know that these moments of triumph, these moments of sensing that you have been used by God, these moments when you see the power of God come on your life, ought to be moments that put you flat on your face, where you know that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And that's in the book of Zechariah. And we're going to look at it. We're going to open the book and look at it in just a minute. But I want you to know that if you're not careful, that those times of victory can eventually turn into defeat if you do not remember where the victory comes from. And that, beloved, is our final point. As we look at 1 Samuel 17 and we see where the victory comes from, and we see God bringing down the Goliath. Now, we've looked at a lot of principles. We've looked at 5 principles out of this chapter that we can apply to our own life. So what I want us to do is I want us to go back and wrap up the chapter. And I'm going to show you something very important that's going to take us over into 1 Samuel chapter 18. And it's vital that you get this. It's vital that you understand this. And so I want you to make sure that you get it down. You say, Kay, I missed the other points. I'm so sorry that you did, but you know what? We have made provision for you to have those. You can get them on CD. You can get them by simply going to our website, which is preceptsforlife.com, and you can ask for the rest of these messages. You'll see and hear an advertisement for them, because I want you to know these principles. Now, we could take each one of them deeper and more extensive, but I don't want us to miss the book that we're in. And many, many times when we start studying a book, we go off on a tangent and we forget where we are in the book. And our purpose on this program, Precepts for Life, is to take you through the Word of God, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We are a ministry that is looking for people who are looking for truth, looking for people that are really serious about their spirituality, serious about being a man or woman of God, serious about consecrating your life to God by and living for him, whether by life or by death. And that's what Paul said. Whether I live or die, my one ambition is to be pleasing to God. So if there is a gnawing and a drawing inside of you, I want you to know that it's no accident that you found this program, because I've been praying and our staff has been praying, and we have been praying that God would create a hunger and thirst in people's hearts and in people's lives for righteousness. What is righteousness? It is living right. Right according to whom, you say? Well, that's a good question in a day when we don't want any absolutes, when we don't want any authority, when each one of us wants to be our own man or our own woman and do our own thing and call the shots and say what's right and what's wrong. And you know what? You can do that and you can believe that lie, but you have been blinded by the enemy. You have been blindsided by the forces of darkness, and it's only going to end in your death and destruction. God has a way for us to live, and it's found in this book. So let's get into the book. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Remember, David has now taken off the head of the enemy. In verse 50, we pick it up, and it says, "Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And he struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in his hand. Then David ran." Remember, we saw he didn't hesitate. He ran, he stood over the Philistine, he took his sword and he drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion, and you mark the champion the same way you mark the Philistine. When you mark key repeated words, and in this chapter, I don't always mark the main characters of the chapter, but I did here because I wanted to see every time that the Philistine was mentioned. And so as we suggest in your study guide, which you can download by going to preceptsforlife.com, preceptsforlife.com, I told you to put a brown box around the Philistine. Well, when you come here, you've come to a synonym, and you want to mark the synonyms in the same way. And what you see is when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now, do you know what's going to happen? Someday, beloved, the whole world is going to see that Jesus Christ is Lord. The whole world is going to bow the knee. The whole world is going to confess that there is no other God but Jesus Christ. And they're going to give obedience to him. But when they see him, what they're going to do is they're going to flee. I mean, they're going to absolutely flee. All right. So it says that the men of Israel and Judah, when they started to flee, the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. Once again, they're following David's example. The enemy has to be dealt with thoroughly and completely. And they pursued him as far as the valley into the gates of Ekron. Now, Ekron is one of the major cities of the Philistines, and it's over in the area. It's on the way to Gaza, okay? And you know where Gaza is today because Gaza is in the news. And the slain Philistines lay along the way to Shaaraim, even to Gath and Ekron. Those are Philistine cities. And the sons of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and plundered their camp. Then David took the Philistine's head. Now, this is so important. It's so exciting. And he brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his weapons in his tent. Now, when it says he brought it to Jerusalem, the person that has recorded Samuel has named Jerusalem, which is not yet named Jerusalem. Really, what he did was he brought it to Jebus, J-E-B-U-S, and that was the previous name of Jerusalem. Later on, it's going to be named Jerusalem, and it's going to be named that by David when David becomes the king over Israel. Now, remember, he's already been anointed for that, but this has not happened. And it won't happen for quite some time, because before he mounts the throne, he has to be thoroughly tested by God. And he will be thoroughly tested, and he will pass the test. You've got to know, beloved, that when you believe in Jesus and when you follow him, it does not mean that everything in life is going to be easy. It's not going to be a piece of cake. Why? Because the whole world, 1 John 5:19, lies in the power of the evil one. Because we're in a warfare, as I've been telling you, because there are Goliaths that want to bring us down, that want to fight with us, that think that they can conquer us and think that they can defeat us. And if you and I don't follow these principles, you know what? They are going to get us on the ground. But we don't have to be on the ground. We can stand firm. That's what Ephesians chapter 4 is about when it talks about spiritual warfare. That we're wrestling, not with flesh and blood, but we're wrestling with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And if we're going, our struggle is against the devil. And the devil wants to take us and pin us to the ground. I mean, it is a wrestling match that is not a put-on show like some of the wrestling matches you see. I mean, it's a big, big show. It's entertainment. But this is not entertainment. This is reality. And the enemy wants to struggle against us, and it means to wrestle someone to the ground. But we can stand firm if we know and understand these precepts for life, these principles. So let's get it. Now watch what he says. He takes the head of the enemy. And this is common. They're going to do this later on to Saul. They're going to take off his head, and they're going to put his head on the walls of Beth Shean. It's a place that we go when we take our annual study tour of Israel. And if you really want to study the Bible, I mean, go with us and you will get an inductive study Bible and you will study it on site and you won't forget it. But it was common practice to take the head of the enemy and put it on the wall of the city so that they could say, hey, I brought down the enemy. So David takes Goliath's head. This is very, very beautiful. And he takes it to Jerusalem, to Jabus, and he nails it on the head, on the wall of this city. Well, he takes the head there. He brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his weapons in his tent. Now, what is he showing us? He's showing us, hey, there is a day coming when from Jerusalem, the Messiah will rule and the enemy's head will be totally taken care of. He will bring down all the strongholds, all the head of evil when Jesus Christ comes with all of his saints and ends up on earth and does battle right in Jerusalem and brings all the armies, multitudes in the valley of decision when he brings them to their knees. We'll talk about it more when I come back. Cutting off the head of the enemy, beloved, was a sign of triumph. And that's what David had. And so they would take that head and they would display it publicly. And it's so significant, as I was saying before our break, it's so significant that he took Goliath's head and he took it to Jerusalem. And I believe it's a wonderful, wonderful picture of the time of triumph. And you and I need to remember that. I told you in an earlier program that we work overseas. We work in 121 countries. We work in countries where people's lives are laid on the line every single day. We work in countries where there are radical Muslim people that want to put to death and think it's all right to put to death any single Christian. We have had people that have been martyred because of their Christianity. And I think about one dear brother. I was overseas and my husband was with me and we bring people together from all these different countries and then I will teach them for a solid week. We call it our leadership training. These are heads of denominations, they're bishops, they're heads of churches, they're heads of women's ministries, leaders that come by invitation. And so we'll have maybe 100 or 200 depending on how much money we have in the bank, so to speak. To be able to train them. And it's such a time of encouragement. And I remember the day that Jack looked at this one man, and he was from this Muslim country, and he didn't want us to take his picture because he knew that he was in danger. And he was my husband's size, and my husband gave him his suit, and the man was just so thrilled. We don't know what these people have to do without as they serve God. It's so different, and so we're just constantly trying to help them in all sorts of different ways and bring relief in some of these countries. And I can't talk about it too much because I would endanger them. But I remember that man standing on the bus, and we were dropping him off. And as he was going to go to the train to go to the airport, and he turned around and he looked at me and he said, "Sister Kay, would you please pray for me? Pray for me." And you know what? I didn't pray for him as I ought to. And maybe a year later, we heard that he had disappeared. And his wife didn't know where he was. She didn't know what had happened to him. And we all assumed that he had been arrested because he was nowhere to be found. And then one day, his wife went to the marketplace. And as she was walking through the marketplace, and this is where they buy their vegetables and fruits. It's very different from our country. It's not superstores like we have. And as she was walking through, she looked up and she looked at her husband's face. And he was impaled up there. His head, only his head, was on display. And what his head was saying to those people is, "Don't you dare go against us. Don't you dare stand for Jesus Christ." That's how she knew what had happened to her husband. We think that that's a defeat. And yet, in a sense, there is a day when every one of those knees that did that to that man are going to bow before God, bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to acknowledge that He is God and that there is no other. They are going to give obedience and obeisance to Him. They are going to bow and they are going to say, "There is one and only one God. His name is not Allah. He's not the God of the Hindus. He's not the God of the Muslims. He is not the spirit gods. There is only one God, and His name is Yehovah, Yahweh. He is the one and only and true living God. All the other gods are figments of our imagination. And yet we have persuaded, others have persuaded men that this is God, or that you can believe in any God that you want. And beloved, that's not true. There is only one, and there is only one way to God, and Jesus said it. Jesus said, "I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and no one, absolutely no one, Jew or Gentile, comes to the Father except by me." There's only salvation in one. There's only one mediator between God and man, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want to ask you a question. Have you bowed the knee to Him? Have you recognized that there is only one God and that there is only one way to God? And that's through the one who came and was born of a virgin, who was God in the flesh, who died on the cross, who paid for your sins in full, totally. There was one sacrifice for sin for all time, and He made it. and he made it with his body. He died on that cross. They buried him. They knew he was dead. But God raised him from the dead because God's holiness, God's righteousness was satisfied with Jesus Christ's death. And so since his righteousness was satisfied, he raised him from the dead, never to die again. Death has been conquered. Death has been conquered because Jesus paid the price. The question is, do you know that? Do you know that? Do you know that there is only one? Have you bowed the knee? Have you said, my Lord and my God? If you haven't, beloved, then you're not in the family. But I can tell you this, you're not hearing this for no purpose at all. You're hearing it because God wants to bring you into the family. God wants you to understand that Jesus is coming. He's coming again a second time. And when he comes not for salvation, but he comes for judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And when Jesus Christ comes a second time, he comes not as a suffering Savior. He's done that. But he comes as King of Kings to rule. And the question is, will you bow the knee now? Because if you do not bow the knee now and you do not confess him, you will bow it when he comes. And then it will be too late. Because then, beloved, you will be cast into the lake of fire where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. You say, well, I'll just be burned up. No, you won't. Hell is as eternal. The lake of fire is as eternal as life is. So what is the message here? The message is this. The enemy has been put to death. We have the victory, but we have to claim it. But we have to know that that victory did not come because of us. It only comes through us. And David sees that. Now watch what happens. It says, then David took the Philistine's head. I'm in verse 54 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his weapons in his tent. You want to watch that because you know where they are, and David's going to use that sword later. Now when Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is that young man? And Abner said, by your life, O king, I don't know. In other words, David had been there and had been in the presence of Saul, and yet he never clicked. It never really hit him who he was. And he says, now who's this man's father? And the king said, you inquire whose son the youth is. And he wants to inquire because he's going to bring David into his home. It says, so when David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the Philistine's head in his hand. So it's before David takes the Philistine's head to Jabus or to Jerusalem. And Saul said to him, whose son are you, young man? And David answered, now listen. He didn't say, it doesn't matter whose son I am. I just conquered the Philistine. I just brought the enemy down. He doesn't say that. This is what he says. I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. In other words, Jesse's from Bethlehem, and I'm his son. The Messiah has to come from Bethlehem. That's what we'll hear later from the prophet Micah. So God is establishing the lineage of the next king of Israel, the one who, upon whose throne the Messiah will someday sit. You say, okay, but tell me more. Well, that'll come in the next program because we're going to see now how David has to remember that this victory that he has had is because of God. And he's going to understand that it's not by might, and it's not by power, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. and we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Well, beloved, we've come to that time for our precept for life. What does God want you and me to do with what we've heard today? Well, first of all, the first thing He wants to make sure is that you receive Jesus Christ if you haven't, that you bow the knee, that you confess that Jesus Christ is God and that you are man and that He deserves and merits your obedience and that you understand that He is Jesus Christ, that He is Jesus, our Savior. He is the Christ, the promised one, and that He is Emmanuel, God with us, that He is the Son of God. And then if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then you have eternal life. For with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So you have to be willing to confess Him before others. The line is drawn. You have to let Him know that you have moved from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the kingdom of God, that you in the process of moving from one to the other have received forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those that are sanctified. Your sins are forgiven, beloved, and I have the authority according to the Word of God to tell you that if you have bowed the knee, if you have receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your Master, as your God, as your Savior, then I have the authority to tell you that your sins are forgiven and that you will never face them again. God has taken them and put them in the deepest ocean. He has put them behind His back. He remembers them no more. Your sins are forgiven. You have a brand new clean slate. You have been made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away now. All things have become new. You have died with Christ. You were buried with Christ. You were raised to walk in newness of life. You have a brand new life before you. But not only that, but the Spirit of God has moved inside of you. He has sealed you until the day of your redemption, until God takes this purchased possession, this body, and this mortal puts on immortality, and this corruptible puts on incorruptibility, and you are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, or you are raised from the dead, and this mortal puts on immortality, and you see Him face to face, and so shall you ever be with the Lord. Beloved, if you have done that, if you have come to God and said, I believe and I receive your Son, then you have been given the gift of eternal life and you're going to live in His presence forever and ever. That's your precept for life.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.